Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and yes, it is Lionel Richie, which can only mean one man forever. Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders is on the line with us. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. Good to hear your voice. I'm sorry we missed last week, man. I've been listening to Ricky Skaggs and Al Jarreau this morning, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling good. You know, we took the week off.
Absolutely.
You know, but we're here. You're here now. And Treylon Burks, it appears, is going to be here with the Titans as he's been practicing. You know, whether he plays or not, I don't know if they're, you know, ramping things up.
But
I would think he's going to be available. But how big is that? And you know, what do you need to see from him for him to take those next steps as a true go-to wide receiver for this team?
I mean, I think it could be pretty good. I mean, you know, everybody knows the situation about him being hurt, but when that dude is out there, he can make some plays. You know, what was the buzz coming out of camp? Everybody kept talking about Treylon Burks making spectacular plays. When he went down to Minnesota, he made some plays before he got hurt. But the only thing that I'm kind of concerned about is, I think, the mental part of it, because when you go through a situation where you get hurt in the game and they got to cart you off the field, that kind of messes with your psyche. So if he can get past that mentally and go out there and make some plays against one-on-one coverage against this Indianapolis Colts, that will be a big asset, not just for Will Levis, but all the other receivers that can have the potential to make plays.
I know we've talked about this before, too, but it becomes more and more apparent to me when I see him make a big play. I feel like Chris Moore needs to be more involved.
Oh,
they need to be involving him more, because the dude makes plays.
Every time. I mean, and they're explosive plays. I mean, if you look at every game that he played in, I know he might not have the 6 or 7 catches like, you know, D-Hop, but when he makes a play, it's impactful. He'll catch 1 for 49, 1 for 39, 2 for 68 or something like that. But I agree with you. I mean, I think Tim Kelly needs to figure out a way to get him the ball, you know, even if it's a slant or a hitch or something to get the ball in his hands, because every time, you know, the ball is in there, he consistently makes plays. So if I'm Tim Kelly, I'm gonna figure out a way in a formation wise to make sure this cat gets the ball.
You know, Chris, I've been, you know, watching a lot of Will Levis behind that terrible offensive line. Every time he drops back, even a 5-step drop, I'm like, oh Lord, why don't they do more 3-step drops? Bam, get the ball out. Those plays seem to work almost all the time.
Yeah, I mean, they could have the 3-step, but if you do a 3-step, there's still somebody in his mustache. So even if it's a 3, 5, or a 7, you know, it feels uncomfortable when you have somebody consistently in your face. Now, this is the real crazy part about the whole situation, that you're getting pressure when it's in shotgun. When it's in shotgun, when you have 4 or 5 guys in your face, it's kind of hard to make plays when you don't have a clean pocket. I mean, this guy, listen, even though this guy is getting hit in the face and getting with 5 guys in his sight, this guy stands in there and makes the play. He stands in there tall, you know, and throws the ball to those receivers. So I'm proud of that aspect of what he's doing.
How, you know, a receiver in the league, how many times did you get called for holding, blocking downfield? Because I called the state championship game yesterday between CP and Boyd Buchanan, and their receivers down the field several times, you know, they had long runs, and they're trying to block down the field, and they got called for holding. That's not easy to teach, is it?
It's not. I mean, the thing about it is, and I'm going to be a coach for a second, you got to keep your hands in. And when a ref sees your hands are out and you're grabbing a shoulder pad, they're going to call it each and every time, because you got to understand, like, I coach Montgomery Bell Academy. I coach the wide receivers there and here. But, you know, I teach them to try to keep their hands in, because you can have an explosive play downfield, but you're waiting so long because the play has got to develop. When the play develops and they're set and running, you know, a sweep to the outside and you got a block in the perimeter for like 3 and 4 seconds, it's tough because you can't hold that guy for long periods of time. So that's why a lot of guys or a lot of wide receivers get caught for holding, because they have to be out there with the guy so long, and that's why they get caught.
You know what else I've seen this year too, Chris, is a lot. They've caught it more and more and more. Is an eligible receiver downfield, because quarterbacks are now scrambling and running. You know, I know the linemen get like a yard or two off the line of scrimmage, but that's been called so much this year because quarterbacks are extending plays and the linemen want to go hit somebody. The fact is they go 10 yards down the field and don't do it. And that, again, that's tough to coach.
I mean, it is, because you got an offensive line. Just say we're running a screen or whatever. You know, they're trying to get out fast because the rush is coming. I mean, that's just kind of like a call that you can make or you can't make. But when you have linemen down the field acting like they're receivers, then that's a problem. But I think as a coach, as an offensive line coach, or as an offensive coordinator, I just got to make sure and drill it in their mind each and every practice, each and every rep, that you have to make sure that you can't go downfield, because it's just something that you got to be disciplined to do.
Chris Andrews is with us, forever Titans wide receiver. Sure. So I'm curious about this too. The New England rumors don't go away.
God.
There was a Greg Bedard story earlier this week, and
yes,
you had Diana Russini that, you know, said no, the Titans are happy and Vrabel's not going anywhere.
Right, right.
But look, we obviously hear all that and we talk about it. The locker room's going to hear about it. How do you prevent that, being one of the leaders of the locker room, how do you prevent that from being a distraction? And do you think that Vrabel has gotten in front of them and said, guys, look, here's the deal?
Yeah, yeah, he probably has. He probably has done that. But here's the thing, as in a locker room, I know this may sound kind of wild, but we really don't talk about it. I mean, like when they was talking about Jeff Fisher before we went to the Super Bowl, they was talking about getting rid of him, but you really don't really talk about it. Just kind of let that happen in the front office. But I think that with Mike Vrabel, I think it might be a little different. I think he's going to go in front of the team and say, you know what, you know, I know all these rumors are going on, but don't really listen to it. But at the end of the day, I don't buy it, because if you look at the track record of the Tennessee Titans, you know, they said that A.J. Brown was going to be a Tennessee Titan forever. He gets traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Then all of a sudden you sign, you know, J-Rob in February, a couple of years ago in February, you sign him into a long-term deal. Then that same year you cut him. So, you know, he might stand in front of the team and say, well, you know, I'm going to be here for the long term. I'm going to be your coach, and we're in this together, and we're going to win these games. But at the end of the day, the owner might say, you know what, it might be too much for you to stand here. You never know. He might go to the Ohio State University or the Patriots.
Yeah, and that could certainly be interesting. Go, Joe.
Yeah, Chris, I was watching the Seahawks game last night. A guy I was with for watching, DK Metcalf, and says,
That guy's built like
Chris Sanders.
He's built like me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just wear tighter shirts and put them in the dryer for like eight times. It makes me make them tight. Sounds good.
So with him, you know, and AJ put on the same college team at Ole Miss, but you know, Chris, you know, when you watched DK Metcalf last night, man, he's just—I don't know if I've ever seen a receiver that big and that strong. I have.
He is a beast. Don't forget about Megatron now. Megatron from the Detroit Lions was a big monster too. You know, but the one thing I love about A.J. Brown and the one thing I love about DK Metcalf, these guys are just not big physical guys. These guys understand how to run routes. They understand how to get the guys a spot. They understand how to lie with your eyes. They understand how to burst off the cut. So these are not just big guys just jumping up and catching the pass. I mean, if you look at – you can look at yesterday when he went against the Dallas Cowboys, the guy was shaded inside and he ran a slant, so he understood – that I have to get leverage on the defensive back and catch the ball. So with this guy being big, with this guy can run a 4.3 and even run a 10.3 and 100, he's not just a speed, physical guy. He's a guy who can run routes. He can run the choice routes. He can run the fade. He can run the slant. He can run, you know, all those things that you want in a complete receiver. But the one thing that I really love about him, he's physical at the line of scrimmage. When you're physical at the line of scrimmage, you make yourself so much of a better player, Joe.
Chris, I caught a football game this year at MTSU, and the quarterback threw the ball to 11 different guys.
Gosh.
Is that good or bad?
I think it's good because you have so many options. It's kind of like this. Just imagine if you have just one good receiver on your team. Then all of a sudden you can just double coverage him and you take him out the game. But now you start spreading the team out. You go into an empty package. You have a whole bunch of wide receivers. Then now you go into an empty formation and you got four or five receivers that are good. So now the quarterback has so many options. It's just kind of like going to Burger King. You can have it your way. So you can have it your way of throwing it to this guy. This guy's getting double. This guy's getting bracketed. This guy's saying, you know what, I got man-to-man coverage over here. So when you're spreading the ball around, that means you have some good wide receivers that are reliable and are in the right spot. So I think it's a great, great thing.
He is forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Our man joins us every Friday at 9:30. Chris, have a great weekend. We'll be listening Sunday to the pregame show.
Hey, before I get off, man, I just want to say you two are some of the greatest men that I know. Chase, I love what you do on 102.5. I love what you do in the community. And Joe, man, I love the books that you're putting out talking about your life. So I want to encourage you this day, man. You guys are two great men, and keep being a light for this community, man. Appreciate you guys.
We appreciate you, Chris. Thank you so much.
Man, love you guys. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Chris Sanders joining us here on the program, as he always does on Fridays. Again, you want to interact with us, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. Com. We've had a few texts come in. We haven't been able to get to those yet, so we'll do that next and continue the discussion on the Titans. That's next. Chase and Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.